Welcome to The Breakdown, where we dig deeper into Sunday sermon, talk about life, and encourage you in your walk with Jesus.
All right, welcome to The Breakdown Podcast. It's Nick and I here today.
Here we are.
Yeah, we're like legit now.
Man, this studio is next level now. I feel like we're moving up in the world.
I know. We need to do...
We got to give props to Kai and Absolutely. Michaela and the whole crew and Blake. I don't know who all was involved in this.
But not us.
Definitely not me. Yeah. I just walked in and was like, what the heck is going on in here? So we're very official now with the breakdown. And I definitely feel like a real live podcast now.
I know. We'll have to do a behind the scenes.
Yeah.
This is what goes on to create.
Oh, man.
The breakdown.
Let them see how the sausage gets made.
I know. I'm excited, though. Today, we kind of have a one-off series where we looked at Living Stones was the title. Right. Kind of looking back on the history of Galilee, on the history of Israel, and then looking forward using those markers. And so before we begin today and getting into the actual sermon... Mm-hmm. The question that came to mind was, what was a marker that you can look back and say the presence of God was there? Mm. And every now and then you look back at that and you're like, wow, that's what's going to spur me on to continue to follow Christ, or during this hard time, give me an encouragement to continue to press on.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moments I can think about in my life where I've seen the faithfulness of God and where I feel like God has, you know, really kind of showed up in those moments of my doubt or anxiety or fear, all the way back to when I was in high school, you know, and I can remember those feelings then and feeling like God really carried me through that and used those times to grow me. All the way to probably the most tangible moment, which was, and I think I've talked about this on the pod before, but it was when I decided to leave Greensboro and come here to Jefferson. And that was such a hard thing for our family because that was basically our home. That was our home, but it was our hometown, more or less. And all of our family and friends were there. And so that was such a moment of Abby and I being on our knees and praying and really feeling like we really needed to hear from the Lord if he wanted us to go, because it wasn't a decision we could make. Like, we knew we couldn't make that decision. Yeah. We really needed God to make that decision for us. And I think knowing in that moment, right, that we were really trusting the Lord and he answered that prayer, he gave us clarity, because we both got real clarity in that season, that we knew it was the right thing and we were really trusting God. So for me, that, you know, that's right up there at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
Man, ours is pretty similar. It's funny how that kind of happens.
Yeah.
We don't pre-plan these questions or the answers to these questions.
Yeah.
But for us, whenever we were transitioning, or when I was transitioning from being a school teacher into full-time ministry, we had a lot of questions that we just felt like we needed answered before we made the decision. But we made the decision to jump into full-time ministry before some of those questions were answered. And one of those things was Heather was going through this extensive testing for some health issues. And we really wanted to get that figured out because we felt like we were on the precipice of that. And so we accepted a position in ministry. And then a couple of days later, it might have been two or three, a doctor called and was like, hey, take this little pill. It should help with the issues that you're having. And it did. And so seeing that as a marker of being faithful, I think of the Israelites, the Red Sea opens, but they still have to walk through it. You know, we had a position open up. We walked through it. And then at the other end, we saw a great blessing from that. And I believe that from the message this week, I was reminded of that. And so kind of give me an overview of what you preached on this week.
Yeah, you know, we about a year ago laid out our vision for the next couple of years, the things we wanted to see accomplished. And what the Lord was really leading me and leading our elders and even our staff's input in that was like, look, coming out of COVID, every church has been knocked down to some degree. We've all faced challenges. I think our church was kind of stagnated a little bit, and we needed some clarity, we needed some vision, and we needed some direction. And so we put all of that together and gave that to the church. You know, we prayed about it. We put it together in a really nice format so people could see it and hold it, literally have it be tangible and look it over and see what we had prayed over and planned for. And so what we did this past week was say, hey, let's look and see how things are going. Let's have a check-in, right? And let's check in on that vision and see how God has been faithful. And what we were basically able to find out was, hey, he'd helped us check off nearly everything on that list. Yeah. And to be able to look forward to the future, remembering that making these markers and having these markers, these check-ins, if you will, is important for us as a church in the same way that it was important for the Hebrew people that they checked in, right? And Joshua had them check in by taking the stones from the river and setting up these markers for the people for generations to be able to look at and say, look, don't forget about God's faithfulness. So in short, what we did this past Sunday was take a look at a marker, the markers of God's faithfulness over our vision plan and what he's been doing in our church in this past year. Yeah. Plus, as you know, we looked at what he was doing 154 years ago and even beyond that to lay the foundations for the church that we get an opportunity to serve. Hmm. So, yeah, it's kind of a long answer, but because we did a lot. We tried to do a lot on Sunday, really.
There's a couple of things that stuck out to me during the sermon that I kind of want to talk about.
Yeah.
The first being, we have God take Israel out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And then we have them wandering for 40 years because, in a way, they chose to by the actions and their, you know, they didn't believe in the faithfulness that God had already showed them. And so they were kind of against that and complaining and asking all these questions. And so that generation didn't enter the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool when you get to Joshua chapter 4, where we looked at Joshua and this new generation of people. Moses had already trained them. That's what Deuteronomy is about, and saying this is how you love God, you serve God. You have Joshua now taking these stones and placing them as a marker for them.
Mm-hmm.
You said it's important to have markers in our lives to be able to remember what God has done for us.
Right.
So the question for me, and I think you answered this in your sermon, is why?
Right.
Why should we look back at the past? Why does it matter 150 years ago that this lady was kind enough and was generous enough to give money to this pastor who started all these churches? Why should we look back? Why does that even matter?
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to be careful in a church to not live in the past, but you would be foolish as a church to not learn from the past. And so when we look back, we're able to see what did these generations, what was the blood, sweat, and tears that they paid and why? Not just what it was, but why did they pay it? Because both pieces of that teach us something. It shows us the things they did that led to where we are today, and it shows us the heart behind why they did it. You know, generationally, as you know, the generations are always, there's always fundamental philosophical disagreements across generations, whether that's over something like music or the way that people dress or the way that they speak or, you know, what the way they act or whatever it is, right? And at the same time, in spite of all of those differences, the fundamental philosophical differences, there are these things that unite us across generations.
Yeah.
Passion, concern, care, love, sacrifice. So when we look at those very fundamental things to the church from 150 some years ago, they're the same things that help a church thrive today. You know, the message never changes, but the methods always do. That's the old adage in the church, and it's true. You know, our methods won't look much like the methods did 150 some years ago. Some things will be the same. You know, preaching of the Word of God, singing the songs that praise the name of God, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But the way those things are done, sure, they're very different, right? But the fundamental parts of that, man, that hadn't changed. So when we look back on those things, we learn a lot, which Joshua knew. And so as he has them take those stones, most likely pretty large, heavy stones, because he has them basically hoist them up on their shoulders, mm-hmm. which tells us these weren't pebbles, right? Yeah. Carry those out from the middle of the river. Why from the middle of the river? Well, because it was a reminder to them that they walked across on dry ground, which, of course, brought up the cultural memory, right? And the cultural memory was, and you know, it's the old Inside Out movie. Whoever those people are that produced that movie, you may remember. Oh, they make all those movies. It's not Disney. I think Disney owns a Pixar. Thank you. So it's a Pixar film, right? And, you know, Pixar did the Inside Out thing, and this is the whole core memory thing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so you know what I'm talking about now, right? Yeah. So core memory for the Hebrews, for the Israelites in general, is, okay, generationally, our people were brought across on dry ground through the Red Sea, saved from Pharaoh and certain death, okay? Here we are with these core memories now for us that we're building, but we almost have this like cultural memory, right? We know this story. I mean, we're only a generation removed. We're not 100 generations removed at this point, right? And I'm talking about from Moses's time to Joshua's time.
Correct.
We're not many generations, we're a generation. So you've got these stories that are being told by their parents and their grandparents that they've heard, and they know exactly what happened. They know about the fear. They know about the concern. They know about how hopeless they felt. But then, you know, little child, little grandchild, hey, listen to what God did.
Yeah.
Listen to how he saved us. So Joshua has heard these same stories too, and now he's the leader. Mm-hmm. And he's saying, generationally, they need to hear this. And one of the ways they'll hear it, remember it, and know it, take these stones from the river, put them there together, stack them up, right? And leave them there. And then it, you know, we know in the end of chapter 4, he says, and they're still there to this day. Now, they're not still there to this day, but they were in those days.
Yeah.
And so just as we see throughout the Old Testament where other advice or other direction, advice is a bad word, other direction is given like, hey, bind these words on your foreheads and on your arms and all these things that they were supposed to do with the law. Why were they told to do that? So they didn't forget them.
Yeah.
And same thing with the stones, right? That then generationally, they're going to know. They're going to remember. They're going to talk about. They can take little Timmy back, you know, and show him, hey, let me show you the spot where two generations ago we crossed the Jordan at its flood stage and because the Lord made a way for us to enter this land. So that's the why.
I like it. Two things that came to mind was how Jesus implements the Lord's Supper. He did it over Passover. Like that was a pivotal marker in their history of being saved from Egypt on that seventh plague. And he institutes this new way in which they're about to be saved through the blood of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that those two things are markers in our faith. And then secondly, one thing that you talked about was the generational impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that we could take from the message is that we have a responsibility to remember the markers that were made for us,
mm-hmm.
whether that's from our parents, whether that's from, you know, the Christian church at large, and begin to lay stones for the next generation.
Right.
And tell that next generation about previous stones that were that were laid for us. And I think that's why the oral tradition of telling stories is so important. And I think we love stories, but I think sometimes we miss them, or sometimes we don't think, oh well, it's just a story. It's not important. But Jesus used
stories.
No,
it matters.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons we explored the story of Emily Harvey Thomas Tubman and talked about, you know, she's basically in the Georgia Women's Hall of Fame. I think it's called the Hall of Distinction.
Yeah.
But
sounds fancier.
Yeah, that's right. So she, you know, she was so fundamental in the planting of Galilee Christian Church, and she, you know, funded basically the preacher who was going around and, you know, made sure he had the money that he needed to be able to exist. And he preached and preached and preached all across Georgia because she was funding that. And she had, you know, grown the business, all these things that women really weren't doing in the, you know, in the early 1800s, she was doing it. And ultimately doing all of that to the glory of God. She gave something like $30,000 towards missionary efforts and missions efforts in Georgia, which is really amazing. I mean, $30,000 may not sound like a lot of money now, but I can promise you it was a whole lot of money pre-Civil War.
Yeah, I think you said it amounted to somewhere like $500,000.
Yeah, and I think I may have even underestimated that. I think my math, or my Googling may have been wrong. I think it's even more than that, but I'd have everybody else can Google it. Like Google what's $30,000 in probably 1830s money is about the time where she was probably at the height of her generosity towards missions and whatnot. And you'll find out the answer to yourself. She was also an abolitionist, which I thought was so powerful as a part of her story. Enslaved peoples were a part of her late husband's estate, and her late husband put in his will that they would release those enslaved peoples upon his death. And she fought hard to accomplish exactly that. And, you know, it was not an easy thing. You know, you'd think, oh, that's good. Well, she just did it. No, it wasn't as simple as that.
Yeah.
Because it was not easy to take enslaved peoples and be able to let them go. There was a process, and she had to work through that based on the confines of the laws in the South at the time. So just a real special person, and accomplished a lot, ultimately.
Yeah, and we're reaping the benefits of her labor, even still today. I think one of the questions as you preached was, okay, so Joshua did this, Emily, right? Emily,
yep.
Tubman. Emily mm-hmm. Tubman did this. Now, these people seem like leaders of leaders.
Yeah.
What about me? Yeah. What about the average Joe who is, you know, sitting in the church pew and is like, maybe I don't have the money, maybe I don't have the skills or the ability. How can I fundamentally set stones for generations to come?
Yeah, because you probably, as I said, won't get a statue.
Yeah.
You know, she has a statue in Augusta, which is where she spent most of her time. Yeah, you're probably not going to get a statue.
My goal is to get my picture on the big screen one day.
Yeah, one day.
With the Philip, was it Philip Lamar that we had the picture of with the beard?
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking
he
for.
He did have an epic
That's
beard.
My goal.
Yeah, Philip F. Lamar was the patron, if you will. He's the one that was preaching. He was called the great evangelist at the time, you know, 2,000 baptisms and preached and preached and preached all across Georgia, and is our founding pastor here at Galilee. Yeah, the answer to your question is, I think you remember that it's not about a statue. It's not about, you know, anything, you know, it's not about you, right?
Yeah.
What it is about is saying, all right, look, where can I start? You know, it's the one of the cool things about, and I'm glad you asked, because one of the cool things about the story here in Joshua is that the water does not part here like it does with Moses with the staff, and he has the staff and he holds the staff and the water parts.
Yeah.
The water doesn't part
until
the priests get into the water.
Yeah.
So they have to get wet, right?
Yeah.
And they're standing in the middle of the water before the water parts.
Mm-hmm.
So for us as individual servants of Christ, we're going to go get your feet wet. You go get your feet wet, the Lord will make a way where there is no way. The Lord will give you talents and abilities that you otherwise don't have on your own, and he'll allow you to accomplish, you know, immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine, as his word tells us. I think that has to be the mentality. And the most important thing is that you don't dismiss your ministry.
Mm.
Your ministry matters. Don't dismiss your ministry because you think it's too small. Don't dismiss your ministry because you think, well, what do I have to offer, or what can I do? Or look at a church where you say, oh, well, that's kind of a big church, and they probably don't need me, or they're not going to have a place for me. Well, not a Galilee Christian Church. No, we've got a place for you. Well, I promise you, we will find a place where you can serve and thrive. You might have to be patient with us. You might have to be patient with yourself. You might have to be patient with the Lord and try a few things until you find, and we help you find what that is.
Yeah.
But we will stay with you through that. If you'll stay with us, we'll stay with you. And that's one of the beautiful things that you can get from being a part of this church. And I, that's not me talking bad about any other church. That's just me saying, like, that's our commitment to you. Yeah. We care enough about you, and we believe it's a fundamental part of our responsibility to help you with every within our ability to help you find that. Because we believe in disciples making disciples. And we believe that a disciple is somebody who serves.
Absolutely.
So if we don't help you do that, we're not doing our job. Hmm. We're not doing our ministry.
Yeah. And one thing I was thinking about is we all have the ministry of our families.
Yeah.
We can all raise children up to love the Lord. I think about what my parents did to set the foundation of Jesus and who God was in my life, and how that's affected me long term.
Mm-hmm.
I think that often people may think the only ministry they have is within, you know, the church.
Right.
And I wholeheartedly believe that you should be serving in the church.
Oh, sure.
But you should be serving your family as well.
Yeah, it's both and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we all have our roles within the family. And I think being good stewards of that will, in the long run, lay this foundation for generations to come.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's ministering to your family has a great weight and a great power. And, you know, part of ministering to your family is helping them learn the value of serving in the church. And you do that by modeling that, not just talking about it.
Absolutely.
Hey, it's important that we serve or give to the church. Well, then if you never serve or give to the church, good luck with that sticking with you generationally.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Any other thoughts on the sermon? I think that it was great. It definitely got me thinking this week.
No, I think that's really it from the big picture. I think, you know, we're looking forward to what's next. We're continuing to shape vision for the years to come. We've really celebrated everything that God has done, and we're really in that planning process, okay, of what do you want, what are you wanting out of us next,
yeah.
Right? You know, I think right now we're kind of living in the midst of the execution, right? Like we've executed this vision, and now we're seeing things start to move.
Mm.
And as I said, we were a little stagnant. Well, praise be to God, we're not stagnant right now. Our church is thriving and healthy, and I think that's really awesome. And with that, it's going to come a whole new set of challenges and, you know, quote unquote, problems to solve and adventures. And man, I just get excited about it, you know, for where we are right now and where God's going to take us next. So,
and I think one of the things we're going to talk a little bit about your next sermon series, but I think that ties in with church growth. I think that at times we need sermons like this. And so kind of tell us about this new series that you're going to start this week.
Yeah, so this coming up is Christian Convictions.
Mm-hmm.
And at the heart of this series is periodically I like to, as a church, say, what are some fundamental kind of truths we need to ground ourselves in? And for us as Christians, how can we pause for a moment here and just kind of have a check-in on what are the things that matter the most? What are the things that are guiding our lives? And how are we orienting our lives around the truth of God's word or not?
Mm.
And this series is going to help us because we all know we live in a very hyper-fluid society where things are constantly changing or people are trying to force changes on us. And really important, maybe more important than ever, that we have a generation of Christians that know what they believe and why they believe it.
Yeah.
So Christian Convictions is going to help us with some of that. We won't address everything by any stretch of the imagination, but we're going to look at some of the fundamentals and really be sure that we address them. And this may be a series that sparks questions for people, which we always welcome.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any specific questions we can address on this podcast or we can address in person with you in a phone call or an email or a personal conversation, we would love to do that. Everything we do at Galilee, we try to do in love and grace. And so wherever you are, or you're out there, you're struggling with something, or you're not, you know, you want to know what your church teaches on this, or you want to know, hey, why are we hard line on this? Or, hey, why don't we take a harder line on that? We'd love to have that conversation with you.
Yeah.
So just know that that door is open out there, folks, as well.
Absolutely. I think it's gonna be great for the church. And I think it's going to make some pretty cool podcast content.
Yeah, well, that's the goal is that we keep this podcast growing. I'm sure next week we'll show up and there'll be some new amazing design in here or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Well, hey, we appreciate I'm thankful for you that you take the time to do this.
Thank you, man.
It was a really good idea for us to continue this, and I think that people have been blessed by it. And so if you're listening, if you stuck with us through the whole thing, we appreciate you, and we hope that you're blessed by each week of our conversation.
Yeah, God bless you guys. Yep. And thanks to our tech team, Kai, and all the other crew that's helped to put this together and just make us so fancy and official.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys next week.
See y'all.